It's the Rundown. It's brought to you by Movement. Apparently 7 hours a day, most people are in front of a screen. We are all easily double that, and I wish I was kidding, but we're not. It's at least 14 for me.
Yeah, any hour that I'm not sleeping, I'm in front of a screen.
TV, phone, computer.
Do you guys get that
computer?
Weekly announcement from like your phone with what's your average screen
time? Oh, heavens no.
I get it every Sunday morning at 10 a.m., and whenever my pocket starts to buzz, I'll look at it. I'm like, good God.
What's like a number?
A normal average day, just on my phone, 6 hours.
At least, man.
Can you not turn that off? Because I would, like, is it like an Amber Alert that you can't turn off?
I want to do it to keep myself accountable, but it doesn't work.
Well, it's just like, have you changed any of your habits? No.
Oh, and now that we can block.
It just makes you feel bad about yourself.
Now that we can block from a phone?
Forget it.
It's going to be way more.
Everything is skewed for us because, like, this is people who live lives that aren't centered around the internet.
Right.
Like,
and they're on it for seven.
Yeah, we don't necessarily have a choice.
No.
Like, if we're away from our phone, that's bad news.
Right.
Because something could happen.
So our eyes are sitting here bleeding.
Yeah.
So the good folks at Movement, they've been down with us since the beginning. They were like, we have to save the eyeballs of everyone at Barstool Sports. So they came up with their blue light filtering glasses. They came up with the Everscroll glasses, so you can forever and ever be on your phone and your eyes won't go bad. You'll also look sharp. Trent's been a glasses guy forever. Daddy, Pappy Chaps over there, he's been on the spectacles. Frankie's got them on right now. Looks a little more like a lesbian than usual, but the rest of us look great.
The one time I put on Movement glasses in this office,
great,
there was a buzz because I look so good. These things are ridiculous that I still have these.
Those look like they're from 1994.
Yeah. So I need to get on the Movement because when I put them on and I put it on my Instagram, people were going nuts for it.
You also have like a divot in your head.
Do I really?
Oh yeah.
I can't
see
that.
Oh yeah.
Big
those
time.
Are too tight.
I was
those
gonna
are,
say, turn your head
right
to the
on
side.
Your temple.
Trent,
you're
gonna
have a headache.
I mean, I can feel, rub your head.
I've been wearing it.
Do you feel that? I think your glasses are maybe like four sizes too small, bro.
It feels like
wearing,
dead skin there,
you're
too.
You're wearing children's glasses.
See, there's a dent in my head.
Big time dent. It sits right in there like a track.
That feels gross.
Yeah.
That's one of the grossest things I've ever felt.
You need some bigger moving glasses, dude. They make them prescription? You need
them. They definitely do. Yeah, I gotta get on that.
Get on that and get a pair that's like three or four sizes.
I cannot believe that feels like that.
That's almost worse than Chaps' screen time pointing it out. I just pointed that out and ruined your day.
I'm not gonna be able to stop thinking about that all day, dude. It's getting a little too real.
Let's say you're scrolling too much. Let's say you got the wrong size glasses and too big of a head. Go get yourself some Movement glasses. Go to mvmt.com/rundown. Get 15% off. Free shipping, free returns. They got the sunglasses, the blue light glasses, the watches, the whole nine. Go to Movement, mvmt.com/rundown. We got ourselves a game seven, boys. Strasburg is just like the best pitcher in the world. Holy fucking shit. He's unbelievable. And I can't imagine the feeling of A, being like, I just added probably another $50 million. My contract. You know,
yeah,
like,
so John was tweeting. John was tweeting about it. How he's got 4 years, $100 million left, and then he's got an opt out, and now it's a no brainer to opt out and do like a
which is crazy
7 year
a 7 year $250 million. Yeah, like this is absurd. He's supposed to make $43 million one of the years, but he's like, no, I'm gonna rip that thing up and I'm gonna make even more money.
And it's worth it. It's smart, and he's already had his Tommy John. He's probably gonna be he's young and healthy.
Big contract too.
Yeah,
he's 31.
So time 31. To cash in. Yeah, I guess he's older than I thought. I thought he was still like, I thought he was like 29.
He's been around forever.
Yeah, and I feel like it's almost like a Scherzer thing where, remember, he was older, but the number of pitches he had thrown was pretty low. So
yeah,
like
right.
Between the years that he's missed and whatnot, he's probably still got a lot of guns in the bullet, as Dave would say. So big money coming his way, and I also it's got to be. Or at least this is maybe my point of view. Maybe I'm not like an ultra competitor like these guys. Mm-hmm. But you go out there game six and you do your thing and he knows he's done. Like he's like, I've done my part. You know, maybe he'll come out of the pen for like, you know, a tight situation. But just knowing you did everything in your power for the World Series.
Twice.
Yeah.
And it's just like, well, you know, it's in your guys' hands. I'm like, I did my part
to
perfection. You maybe prefer it to be a game seven where you clinched it, but with Scherzer on the hill, like, you got these guys to game seven. You got them to Scherzer. Like, I did my part.
I'm done. I'm going to make a boatload more money, and now I can just sit back.
How
even if
that?
You guys screw it up, it's not going to be on me. Strasburg did his part, but these
that's
guys
like
ruined
the
it.
The loser's talking, but I'm like, I'm on vacation, bro. Like, I did my thing.
100%. 100%.
And with Scherzer in seven. I don't know, Chaps.
How do you feel?
Scherzer, Greinke is not what you want to see.
I told PFT I don't feel great this morning because Greinke is not. I mean, he played well earlier in the series, but Verlander.
What the fuck,
guy? Man. Like, I think that him being and losing two more in this World Series could hurt his legacy overall.
Could. I think it definitely does.
Everybody like glossed over it before, like, oh, he never won a World Series, because I believe in 2017, even though he didn't get the win, they won again.
Yeah.
Right.
But he didn't get the win.
Dude, I mean, I think it for sure hurts his legacy. And I wonder if it's just like a tired thing. It's just like he's great through the playoffs. Awesome. And then by the time he hit late October or November, like his arm is just cooked.
I think
it doesn't make sense.
He gets too amped up, I think.
Because
like normally, like when you watch a game, he'll start the game at like 93, 94. These games, he starts at like 96, 97.
Yeah.
Like, I think he has trouble bringing down the
Which
juice.
Which is almost even worse in my mind, because it's like, you've had, was it seven starts now? Six, seven
yeah.
starts? Like, figure it out. If you're out there overthrowing and too amped up, like, I can understand once or twice, but after a while, like, slow your roll, dude.
I'm Verlander, I start retweeting, like, Kershaw stats or something. Like, don't let the world know or forget that Kershaw is a thing in the playoffs,
too. If they win this, because it'll get glossed over again. It's just like, oh, never mind.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
He did his part to get them there, the World Series. Then they, you know, figured it out without him. No big deal. They lose this one. This whole shit with nobody at home winning is preposterous.
Yeah.
Totally
I called
ridiculous.
It, though.
You called it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I was joking.
But I wrote
a tweet that said that this feels like that the home team's going to win every game and the Astros will break that series and Game 7. I did that after Game 2.
Hey, now. Good chapsy.
Yeah.
That is strange. I think they said that's the first time it's ever happened in baseball history.
Yep. Big I mean, that's absolutely unheard of. It's crazy. We also had the pimp-off last night between Soto and Bregman. I like the new wrinkle of just carrying the bat with you. Bartolo did it first. Just want everyone to remember that. The apology from Bregman is so fucking lame, but I guess you got to kind of do that.
No, you don't.
Well, I just let... my emotions get the best of me, it's not how I was raised to play the game, and I just let my emotions get the best of me, and I'm sorry for doing that.
I didn't know he apologized, and I don't like it.
He said I it was so obviously fake. He was like, well, I.
That's not how I was
I'm
raised.
I'm sorry. He goes like, I'm sorry that I did that. That's not how I was raised to play the game. And I'm sorry I did that. He just like said it again.
No, you do the McGregor where it's like you act like you're gonna apologize. If you're gonna apologize, you act like you're going to, and then you just don't. That's not something you need to apologize for. I hope somebody carries the bat all the way around.
And
the
there's less and less people that care. I told Jared because he got a hold of one too. Like later on in the game, I was like, after Soto brought his bat to first, I was like, he needs to just bring it to second.
Keep
like,
going.
This is just a thing.
One up each other. Soto's disgusting. Rendon's disgusting. These guys should whenever they. If you hit a World Series home run, you should do whatever the fuck you want with the bat.
Whatever you want. You should cartwheel around the bases if you want to.
And then there's the controversial call with Trey Turner. I don't know why people are still freaking out because like, if you win the game, who cares?
Yeah.
Like if they lost the game and that was a pivotal moment, but it was a biggest ball don't lie situation ever. Rendon smacks one out of the fucking world and they won. So it was a bad call. It's crazy that they made the bad call after reviewing it. Like in real time, it's one thing. To review it and still get it wrong is terrible.
So I didn't watch the game. I'm not watching this World Series really. Mm-hmm. But it's like I didn't realize that Dave Martinez got thrown out after the home run.
Yeah.
Yeah, he went ballistic.
So like he went crazy. Like I understand. Like, would you still be going crazy if, like, the ball don't lie thing happens and then you're just kind of like,
I think that's
all right.
I think that'll be the reason why they win. I think they're going to be so geeked up about what happened.
Mm.
Imagine the little fire-up speech that he's going to give before that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He went crazy.
Crazy.
Nuts. They had, to, like, four people holding him back.
It's tough for the Astros fans, champs.
Yeah. We'll get through it.
to the NBA.
How you doing?
Good.
The crowd.
Crucified last
I
night.
I know. I was watching the rundown from yesterday when you guys were talking about him. Is that what you're talking about?
No.
Oh,
Kate
whoops.
Was pushing all kinds of terrible pictures of me.
That picture that Kate put out was not nice.
It rivals the sweater pic easily.
Yeah. It
and it was over and over and over again.
Now she did have the she did put out a disgusting picture of herself too.
Oh, but that's just trying to get the heat off of herself. Like, why would you be so mean to Chaps?
Yeah,
that one's been
that was
out long
as
forgotten.
Yeah.
Because when Liz put out the picture of the sweater pic, it was an accident. And I know it was an accident because it was there at the same time. She's like, I didn't even see or look at you whenever I post the picture.
Which is fair because everyone
Kate went searching for the picture.
Kate found that Yep.
That's your co-host.
I mean, that screenshot.
No loyalty.
Stabbed in the back.
Right.
Well, but it's also one of those things, like, you know, you make fun of your best friends.
Not like that, I don't.
You said something funny on the runway when he just makes that face. He's got that little face. You got, like, you just see smile. And
like
you just...
this, like, yep, there it is. Like, well, my face looks like this.
This is it. How long do you think it's going to take for it to grow back to what it used to be?
I don't know, dude. It's going slower than I thought, honestly. I woke up, I was like, still?
You don't
like,
have even a shadow.
I know, I don't get it.
It's not like hair on your head, but still, I get nervous about cutting hair when you're older. Like, it might just not come back.
It's just over. Now this was...
That would be
terrible.
By the way,
I didn't quite understand the circumstances. You letting a random New York City barber...
Yeah.
That's insane.
No,
Like, if your hometown guy says this, and you trust him, and you roll the dice, and you're like, all right, I'm going to listen to my guy... But some fucking buffoon off the street convinces
Boris
you to...
Oh, Boris is not a buffoon.
Oh, he's a buffoon. He's I mean, clearly he's a buffoon.
I'm with Chaps. I'm easily impressionable in the barber's chair. When I'm in there, like, if they want me to do something...
Barber's chair's fine. And this random... I mean, even your hair is one thing. Why'd you go to a barber on a vacation? What is that about?
Well, earlier in the day, I went to go get some ice cream. And a barber... He was Turkish, came outside, and he was like, hey, we need to clean up your beard.
Insane.
And so when I was...
totally crazy.
When I was walking by...
So you didn't even make a barber trip. You just got pulled off the trip for an ice cream.
Well, no, I went later because he put the earworm in my brain. I was like, do I look like shit? I need to clean this thing up. Oh, clearly, if a barber's practically running out of his shop to tell me to go clean my pubic face up, I need to do something.
I
and
get
Boris
it.
Took if, advantage. If you I went to if you went somewhere for foreplay... There was a barber in town. You'd be like, all right, do me up.
Yeah.
You're insane.
Yeah. I had a guy.
That's
nuts. I'd say I'm impressionable. I had a guy like try to even out the front here.
Yeah.
Where he just like, it didn't want to be round, so he just tried to square
to line
it
up. That'll start in like, the middle of your head.
Ooh. Yeah. And I was just like, and I remember tipping him more because I felt bad that
he put
felt
in more
bad.
Effort.
And I just felt bad that he felt bad. So I knew and I was like, I'll give him more. And I wore a hat for 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
It's tough.
Yeah.
Even in the barber chair, if you tell me something like, I think this could look good, I don't have the power to say
no. You're super vulnerable in the barber chair. I get that. They show you that, you know, they do the mirror in the back and it could look like shit and you go, okay, good, and give me
just
your tip.
What I wanted.
But to be getting ice cream and have a stranger tell you to change your whole look and you to be like, okay, that's crazy, Chaps.
It was a bad decision.
It was. We learned from our mistakes.
I think we could...
Has your family reacted at all?
My wife won't answer my FaceTimes. So.
I mean, she's just like, she's like,
I just don't even want to see your face.
She's like, if I will speak
to you audio,
yeah,
but no,
if we do audio FaceTimes right now.
That's the meanest
if
shit I've
ever
heard.
If I slide that over,
heard.
I'm going to see a ghoul. I don't want to.
That is the meanest shit I've ever heard. Wow. That's tough. Okay, I think you look great. You look awesome.
Yeah.
It's a cool look, man.
No, it's cool. It's fine.
Hey, right? It's like this.
What do you do?
Not cut your beard. That's what you can do.
Yeah. Lesson learned.
LeBron had the whole arena chanting Taco Tuesday.
Last trip down, they said an illegal, or JaVale said an illegal screen is, look at LeBron having fun. Look at DeMarcus. Right next to him. By the way, DeMarcus has not been ruled out for the season. That's something that was said the other day. So on this Taco Tuesday, there's DeMarcus Cousins. Lakers are going to give their fans tacos. And that's what they're chanting. Look at LeBron.
I think this would probably be like funny or cool with almost anybody else in the world. Like if you had a funny social media thing going and the crowd started chanting it. But my main thing on top of LeBron just like sucking so much these days, that was like the most like interested I've seen him during a basketball game in a long time. And
he
it's
like couldn't contain himself. He,
yeah. Ooh. Like it has nothing to do with play anymore. Has nothing to do with winning anymore. It's like the most excited he's been on a basketball court in like several seasons, it feels like, is when the crowd was talking about Taco Tuesday.
He's on easy street now. He's got, Anthony Davis went 40-20 last night. I think LeBron had like 23-8. He can focus on other things now. He's got somebody else carrying the weight.
If they win, he can just chill. And, you know, 23-8 is like great for everyone else, but shit for him. But, you know, he's going to need AD doing, what's wrong? We did the wrong ad? No? He's going to need AD doing like 40-20 to be able to do that.
Of all the things that have driven me crazy about LeBron over the years, this is the one, the Taco Tuesday thing. I just hate it.
It's like just so nerdy and everybody acts like it's cool because it's LeBron.
Mm-hmm.
Taco Tuesday!
And it's not at all.
That's what I'm saying.
It's
like,
if you're
someone
a dad,
else like,
dude, like
really
this
loved
is...
Taco Tuesday or something, I'd be like, all right, kind of funny, kind of quirky, whatever.
Everybody behind him was acting like it was the funniest thing in the world.
There is this thing where, like, if you go out into the actual world, like, LeBron is a loved person.
I know.
Like, we are in a bit of a bubble, and I think the people on the internet dislike him a lot, especially people that we associate with. But if you go out there, LeBron, people love this
king.
Guy.
He's a king. You know, he's revered. But anybody with, like, a little bit of their own opinions and perspective and who can understand, who can separate, like, great player from douchebag person. And
yeah.
If you have any sort of, like, ability to have nuanced thoughts, you realize this guy sucks.
Taco Tuesday thing is just ridiculous.
The GM of the Bucks has a burner where he praises Jameis Winston. It's like the anti-Colangelo. I don't know. Why not just like praise your guy publicly? Like
yeah, it doesn't bode well if you can't do it publicly and like go out there and say. I guess because a lot of GMs don't speak like publicly anymore during the season, which I think is horseshit. Like, go out there. Like, whenever you don't make a trade, you know, every fan knows. Like, we know the Jags are, like, we need a cornerback. You don't make a trade. You need the GM to go out and say why you didn't make the trade.
Mm-hmm.
You have Jamal Adams on the block. Go out and say why he was on the block.
Yeah, so that's a whole mess, too. Jamal is saying that they were shopping him. Joe Douglas and Adam Gase say that they weren't shopping, but they were just taking calls.
That's shopping.
Yeah,
like,
if you have a franchise player,
there is a
you
difference between like I'm trying to get rid of this guy and like, hey, listen, if someone comes and knocks us over with like a Khalil Mack deal, we'll think about it. I don't know enough about Joe Douglas yet because he really hasn't been doing.
Hey, Dave.
I heard you talking about my guy Joe Douglas.
Yeah, what's he doing?
Listen, you're wrong.
What?
Not shopping him?
No, I said they should shop him.
Oh. Listen,
but you should
Jamal Adams should shut up. The Jets are the worst team in the league. If someone calls you, it's like, hey, are you interested? Like, everybody's in the block for the Jets.
If you've had some sort of meeting talking about, like, I want to be here, and there's some sort of, like...
Who cares what Jamal wants? I want fucking a bazillion dollars. Lots of guys want it. Like, lots of guys want to be places. The Patriots have a million of them. Belichick, if he gets a better offer, see ya. It's a business. Like, shut up, Jamal Adams. You're the worst fucking team in the league.
Yeah,
if you get a Herschel Walker-type offer, you have to entertain it.
That's for sure. But I think if you have some sort of discussion meeting beforehand and then do the exact opposite of what you talked about.
But
that discussion, that conversation, that meeting, whatever it was, should be like, listen, we want you, but if we're listening to amazing offers, like we have to
talk
about
it. But it sounded like Jamal Adams was saying, we had a meeting and Jamal Adams said, I want to be here. And Joe's like, great, we want you here. Phone rings the next day, the Cowboys, are you willing to listen to offers? Of course you do.
Yeah, I think that needs to be like communicated. And I also think
don't
that
go out and
I don't know who's
from,
running
the
show
the GM,
by the way.
Like, no, we weren't taking offers. If you are taking offers, be like, yeah, we're running a business.
You're
here.
Always taking offers.
But also, your boy's not doing it.
You aren't.
Adam Gase is running the show.
No way.
Yes way.
No way.
Yes way.
No
I mean,
way.
Every nobody has talked about Joe Douglas at all. Joe Douglas is doing nothing. Adam Gase
I mean,
is like has full control. This is the only time I've ever heard him. Everybody across the board is
no
saying
chance.
That Adam Gase
you
has
don't
full
pay,
control.
You don't pay your GM as much as they paid him if you're not, he's not the GM.
Well, he needs to fucking step
Dave
up
Caldwell,
then because everybody in the world thinks that Adam Gase is running the show.
Well, they're fools. And why, if he's running the show, why would Jamal Adams trash Joe?
He said the GM and the coach.
Yeah,
trash both.
It was more the GM from everything I read.
He just wouldn't mention him by name, but everybody knows that Adam Gase is a buffoon. Everybody's saying he has more power than every other normal head coach situation. Joe Douglas has been mentioned like zero times in any of their
deals. I
think
Joe Douglas
deals.
Come over here and hit you like a potato, like Mr. Potato.
I hope Joe Douglas fucking steps up and takes control of Adam Gase.
Like, tough situation for me to be in because I do despise the New York Jets and I like Joe because of a friend of mine.
I would love for him to take over and tell Adam Gase to shut the fuck up.
It's like, I mean, a lot of these guys were there before Joe got there.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
he should
was
clean
a
house.
Late,
he should get rid of all
late.
These fucking,
well,
get rid of
but,
Adam Gase,
but,
get rid of fucking everybody.
That is theoretically why he's like open any offer.
Yeah,
if someone's like, I'll
again,
give you a gazillion draft picks for him. And the way Joe answered the questions, the quotes I saw, he's like, of course I'm listening to everybody. That's what I'm taught to do. Like,
We've fielded a lot of calls on a lot of players. Some players has been public, other players hasn't been public. You know, one thing I will say is that on the players that were leaked out today, those weren't players that we were shopping. But, you know, where I'm from and what I was taught is when a team calls you, you should always listen to what they have to say.
Somebody calls up and says, hey, I have an offer.
Yeah, of course.
Like, I'm going to listen.
For sure.
Idiot. So Jamal Adams, you know what? I don't know really who he fucking thinks he is.
Oh.
The Jets have won like 2 games in a fucking decade. So, hey, Jamal Adams, shut your fucking face. That's all I got. Chaps look good today.
Thank you. Appreciate that,
you
Dave.
You can always listen to every offer. You just, especially with a guy like Jamal Adams, who you know is going to run right to fucking Twitter, open his mouth,
yeah.
And especially a guy on the team, like one of the only talented people on this team. If he says he wants to be with you, you have some sort of meeting, and you think there's a chance he might be traded, you have to have all your cards on the table, because if you try to do anything other than that, he's going to do exactly what he did.
But you can't
run right
the
to the media, right to the fans, and he's going to be an asshole.
You can't say he wasn't on the trading block. You can't say that.
Right, because he was.
Just that's
out,
a lie.
Just
he
go
was.
Out and be like,
everyone's on the trading block.
This team
trading
stinks.
Yes.
Everybody's on the trading
no
block.
No doubt. Come on back. Come on back. Don't say he's not on the trading block if you're willing to trade somebody. Say that everyone's available.
Listen, he wasn't on the trading block. But if my house isn't for sale and someone knocks on my door, it's like, I will give you $100 million for your house. Guess
yeah,
what?
Yeah, but he
it's
was
on
kind
the
of
block.
On the trading block. When they were like when they wanted to do it with the Cowboys, and they when they wanted to trade him to the Cowboys and they just couldn't come to an offer, he was on the trading block.
Jesus.
You got one buddy who gets in the NFL, and all of a sudden you defended the New York Jets. Dave Portnoy, biggest Jets fan in the league.
David Jets.
Unbelievable.
I didn't realize they were buddies. That's,
yeah.
That was, he
yeah.
came out of their own fire.
Maybe his buddy can step up and get Adam Gase to shut the fuck up.
Okay.
It's Testaverde, Gase,
no, I have one more thing. Yeah, he is my buddy. I went to the Jets-Patriots game. I was in the GM's suite. It was
okay.
Beautiful. He told me
sounds
his
nice.
Wife, watch out, because she may punch me in the face if I cheer too hard for the Patriots. This is non-related. Remember the Penn State, the guy I went in the fight with? I haven't blogged it, so you guys have no idea this is happening. But the Penn State newspaper, the kid who wrote the article and had the quote from the professor where they didn't include the part that I got mad about, then he doubled down on it. And he's like, we don't know that she said it, blah, blah, blah. I just saw an article today. Talk about an under the radar. The Daily Collegian at Penn State has issued now a correction. Phrasing in previous version of this article mischaracterized Marie Harden's comments in the NBC News article. The Daily Collegian apologizes for this error. Thank you. I only had to drag that fucking apology, and they do it. And like, this is like when fucking Art Modell moved the Browns.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
did
it
dead,
in
of,
dead
night.
Of night when yeah. nobody fucking knew it. They didn't only misquote it.
And this is a school newspaper.
Yeah, they didn't only misquote it. Then the kid doubled down that he didn't misquote it. And then I heard crickets. Now, they're like, oh, yeah, we fucked that one up. Yeah, no shit.
And to think that they're going to sneak that in and Dave Portnoy's not going to find this shit.
Yeah.
It's like,
oh,
give
yeah.
me
yeah.
a break.
No
yeah.
shit. You That kid should be banned from media.
Executed?
Nope.
Okay. Just checking.
Like, people say I'm crazy. They'll remember all the noise I made. It's like, I was right. They just admit it's crazy.
But nobody will talk about the apology. Yeah.
It's like Dave Portnoy attacks some kid. It's like, whoa, he fucking is alive.
Dave, what do you think about Taco Tuesday?
That's what he always did that because I wasn't at four.
Last bit here, last topic. This Mike Francesa clip.
Ooh.
How you doing, Mike?
Good, what's happening?
You know, I was thinking about this for the NFL, but and also it could be a solution in the NBA, too. Have they ever discussed to prevent teams from tanking, doing a reversal? So, like, the best teams that haven't made them, that don't make the playoffs. So if you're 8-8 or you're 9-7 and you just miss out because of whatever tiebreaker, those teams get the number one pick and they go backwards. I know that, you know, we don't see tanking all the time, but you see cases like the front office of what Houston did years ago, what the Knicks did last year, and the Celtics and Sixers, and now we're seeing it with the Dolphins. So is there any way that they can incentivize these teams to say, look, you're 8-8, you're 7-9, but you know what? You missed out by whatever, a tiebreaker. Could they ever do that? And does it make sense?
I don't think there's an easy remedy. It's a very tricky situation. They have to have a mechanism in place in the big game to overturn the blatant mistake like happened in the New Orleans game. Now, that play, there is not a doubt in the world that you could, that you would call a penalty on that play. I mean, a penalty would be called on that play 98 out of 100 times, maybe even 99 out of 100 times.
I mean, I don't want to be dramatic, but it might be like top five, Mike.
Top five? Which is
like,
there's a...
Because it's like, if you're a Mongo and you've really been listening to him, I mean, this is so Mike. When you see him on his phone, just scrolling, looking up, not listening, a long-winded 58-second question from a caller.
Yeah.
He's talking about God knows what. And Mike just blatantly answers a completely different question. Guy's talking about the problem with tanking. Mike talks about the problem with overturning calls. And nobody says a word. Nobody cares. He keeps it moving. Number one.
I'm a little stunned this doesn't happen all the time to him. That he just, like,
when forgets take calls the question. Like 4 hours a day.
Yeah, right. He doesn't just, like, always jump back and forth. But that's...
Everybody who's ever hosted a radio program with callers has been in that situation.
Well, especially when they go on and on.
Yeah, like, you're like, what the fuck did you say? Then you can't have dead air, and right. You don't want them to repeat. You can't say, I'm sorry, what did you say? Like, you can't have them repeat that same minute-long question.
Do the people around Mike, like, does he know he's made this mistake now? Or does it just, is it forever he's just like, I answered the question that got asked to me and that's it?
The internet is definitely, like, he definitely is aware of Funhouse, the guy who like, always tweets out his shit.
Yeah.
His producer, Monzo, certainly is aware of him, hates him. Every now and then, Monzo will, like, chime in his ear and kind of correct him, but for the most part, I think it's just like...
Yeah.
Because who cares?
Why would the producer hate it, though? It's like free publicity, and people love that shit.
Yeah, but it's making fun. It's more like, you know, you're coming at my guy, and he's always... I mean, Funhouse has such an axe to grind with Mike. It's not just like, here are clips of Mike. He always... Sometimes, for the most part, Mike does a lot of silly stuff or contradictory stuff, but this guy also will dig up anything and everything, trying to, like, you know, tear him down. It's like, bro, you are one of the biggest Mike Francesa fans in the world. Shut the fuck 100%. Up.
If you listen
every single day.
Thing.
And he'll claim, oh, no, I don't like him. I'm just doing this because I have to, like, expose him. I'm like, okay, man.
It's not that
Mike
serious.
Mike Francesa is your life, you know? It's not that. That's why I can laugh at it. That's why I think it's funny. It's just like he does whatever he wants. He literally will talk about whatever he wants in the face of a question about a totally different topic, and it doesn't matter.
I did see he's fallen behind Michael Kay in the rankings or whatever. I don't know all about that. I don't know that world, but his response was funny to me. He was like, that would be like spiking a football if your team's down 77-0 because he's been leading for so long, and now they're going crazy about beating him for 1 week.
And always, that's the thing. They always like a time frame or the time slot, and it's like they beat him for like 45 seconds, and he's happy. They're happy about it. Whatever. This is LeBron. This is his like retirement tour. He's like, I'm still doing it, but I'm basically like feet up. The crowds are chanting Taco Tuesday.
This is like the post-retirement tour.
Yes.
Because he retired and then he came right back.
This is just like he's, you know, still talking sports in his retirement, but there happens to be a microphone recording at the same time.
I'm new to the Francesa world, but my favorite one was when he was counting the bowl games on live air. Got up to like 37.
Just makes noises and he counts. Unreal. Sometimes there's dead air where I thought my radio like cut out.
Yeah.
He goes like,
perks you up a little bit. And like, oh shit.
And he's like, you know, he's still there.
So good.
All right, that's it. That's the rundown. Anything for after show? Chaps looks beautiful. Nate and PFT will have a game 7.
I think that's it.
All good. Stephen Che's got a lot to answer for with this burner. See what he said on the yak. Never know. All right, that's it.